Well, today, as we continue on in our outline, we are looking at the topic of how sin entered into the world. Now, I want us to understand that, you know, when we're speaking that, it's also the other reason that I wore my tie today. Because when we're saying, how did sin enter into the world, we're not talking about the world that's placed the earth. We're talking about humanity, all right? Just as the Scripture says, God so loved the world. He's not talking about the planet, okay? He's not talking about the water and the trees. He's talking about us. When that phrase is coined, all right, God so loved the world, he's talking about humanity, past, present, and future, all right? So it is a progressive look at all that is going to come into being and all of us who are in it. That's why he calls it the world. So then how did sin enter into, to put it in another phraseology, our nature? How did sin enter into our humanity, our flesh? What caused that to happen? Well, for that reality, we need to turn in the book of Romans to chapter 5. And that's where we're going to begin. We're not going to stay there long, but that's where we're going. So if you would, turn to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to be beginning in verse 12. We're going to begin in verse 12 in Romans chapter 5. From the 12th verse in the 5th chapter, the book of Romans, we read these words. The Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, writes to us, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam did, who was the pattern of the one to come." When we read this, it says sin entered the world through one man. And that one man, as we read a little bit down further, is Adam. Adam broke the only command that God gave until the law was given with Moses. Okay? Do you realize that after Adam broke that law, every one of humankind, because up to that point it was only two of them, was cast out of the Garden of Eden. And they were cast into what we now call the earth. Okay? Now it was a little bit different then because the garden was still here. It was pre-flood. But the reality was they were cast out and they were in a place that was cursed. Okay? And in that place they began to live and have children and grow. And it's from that reality, something happened at that moment when Adam was cast out. Something happened to our nature. And in order for us to figure out what happened to our nature, we have to go back a little bit in time from when the Apostle Paul here is speaking. Because the people, and we the people too, we know what Genesis tells us, but we need to go back because I want to make sure we're all on the same page. I want us to look at what God really says and just how this thing came through Adam. One man sinned and now everybody's a sinner. What happened? Well, let's find out. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, I've got a lot to read here, okay? So you're going to follow along. We're going to start at the beginning of the verse, beginning of the chapter, Genesis chapter 3. Yep, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to read because I'm going to bring us up to date. You know, what's going on here? Well, God had just got done creating and he set man out into the garden and he said, be fruitful, increase and multiply, have dominion over all the animals of the earth and all the earth and everything in it. Subdue it as my image, right? God created us in his image. I'm going to challenge that thought in every one of your lives in just a moment. But this is what happened just a short time later. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked, as if that was the least of their problems. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from him among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And Adam answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And God said, "Who told you you were naked? You have eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from." The man said, "That woman you brought here to me and gave to me, she gave me some of that fruit and I ate it." Do you see what happened? The first sin entered in. And so did the first excuse. Think about that. Up until this point in time, there weren't any excuses. The first sin enters in and the first excuse is made. And we've been making excuses ever since. But we're not done. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Second excuse. Second sin. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, the first sacrifice for sin, and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man is now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. In that very short account, it seems long because it's part of a sermon, but in that very short account, a lot of things happened. But the one thing that we definitely need to take note of is the reality that the ground was cursed. It had never before produced thorns and thistles. All of a sudden, because of sin, thorns and thistles were coming in. Something happened. There was a physical changing of our world, of our nature, the nature of all things, because death entered the equation. And as soon as death entered the equation, not only was our world changed, but our DNA was changed. Our very makeup was changed. Because up until that point in time, God had his hand of protection over us that we would live forever. And once that hand was removed, death entered in. Now, that's spiritual death as well as physical death, because that's separation from God, because God cannot have anything to do with sin. That's the spiritual death. The physical death, we all know it because we're all going through it. My hair looks like it did when I was 2, right? No, I don't think so. When I was 2, I was blonde, okay? We all grow up, we all get older, and we all die. Except in the rapture. Amen? Looking for it coming, aren't you? I'm constantly walking around looking up saying, Maranatha, I want to see the heavens part and hear the trumpet blast. Because boy, when that happens, I'm going to jump. Because I know He's going to catch me. And off we go. But there's a reality. This life, everything in it, all that we are, is filled with sin. Something happened. Something changed because of the curse. As soon as death entered into our world, everything changed. From all the goodness that God had planned, everything was changed. For we were no longer the image of God. What? Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Don't we all say, oh, but God made us in His image? Well, let's look at that just a little bit. All right? Look at chapter 4. 4, verse 1. It says, Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock, and the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will it not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, replied the Lord. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse. Again, the curse. We just keep compounding the curse. All of mankind has been cursed. One man here, you know, here's two brothers. You know, most of us have siblings. Many of us have siblings. Those of you who don't, praise God, you don't have anybody to fight with, right? That's why we get married. You're all laughing, so you know it must be true. But here's these two brothers. One is doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord. The other is jealous. What's that tell us? The very first two people, the very first two that were shown of an account. Remember, not all people that were born were given name. We were given their names. Because between those two brothers, there were many daughters born. Please remember, they married their sisters. Okay? And they had children. I know some of us are turning our nose, but you know what? They were perfect, as close to perfection as could be, and it wouldn't matter. That wasn't sin. What was sin? Was killing your brother because you did something wrong. Because you didn't do what was acceptable to God. Rather than changing yourself, you change your circumstance. And isn't that what we do in life? Rather than pleasing God, isn't that what's happening right now? Okay, the Presbyterian Church. How many of you just saw that? Presbyterian Church just said, we're going to change our constitution and the church is going to say it's okay to sin. I don't need to say any more than that. I don't need to go down that line. They said, we're going to say it's okay to sin. What does God's Word say about sin? We're not to have anything to do with any type of sin. And when we do, we need to repent of it and seek the Lord and ask forgiveness. But our world says, oh, you don't need to seek God anymore. You can do whatever you want. Isn't that what Cain just did? And what did it get him? More accursed. The more we sin, the more cursed we become until our fullness reaches its end, and then God destroys us. That's the teaching of the Old Testament, the whole way through. And it's coming again. Because right now we're under grace. But folks, our lives, our world was completely and totally changed in this instance because something happened. Turn over to chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, because this is what I want you to understand. Remember, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, but you and I weren't. What? You heard me. Let's read the Bible and see what the Word tells us. This is the written account of Adam's line. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and they were created, and when they were created, he called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. Do you notice? There's two people here that are quite auspiciously missing. Who are those two people? It speaks of his third son, Seth. But where's Cain and Abel in this account? God wiped Cain's name out of the registry. Abel was already dead, so God didn't put his name there. We know he existed for a time, and he was killed by his brother. That leads me to believe that he didn't have any children. Otherwise, there would be a line from Abel, correct? And we're not told anywhere in Scripture of that, but we're told of a line that comes from who? Seth. That's where you and I come from. We all come from the line of Seth. Okay? Because Noah is of the line of Seth. He's not of the line of Cain. All those people were wiped out. We are of the line of Seth. And Seth was born in whose image? Adam's image. Adam was a fallen man. There were only two beings created in the image of God, Adam and Eve. And as soon as they sinned, that image was changed. They were no longer the image of God. They were the image of themselves. For they had risen above the place where God had set them, or so they thought, and made themselves gods. All right? They knew better. They knew what was more important. They knew how to act. They knew what they needed, right? Isn't that what our world's chasing after today? We know what's right. God doesn't have to tell us anything. You know, that's just an old book full of stories. You know, we know what's good. This is the way God made me. No, he didn't. Adam did. I hate that when I hear that. So many times, but God made me this way. Would you read the book? If you're going to make a statement, at least know what you're talking about. You know, how many times have we been told that when we're growing up as kids, right? You're in class and you make a statement and your teacher looks at you and says, did you read the homework? You know, God didn't, you know, give us a whole lot, all right? You know, there's just under 2,000 pages here. Take your time, and you can do it in 6 months. That's really taking your time. Believe me, I'm reading the whole thing again through for my master's. And it does take time. That's why I told the children we need to sometimes slow down and take time. It doesn't matter how fast we get to the target, just that we what? Fly straight. And if you want to learn how to fly straight, you better read the book and understand what it's trying to tell you. And that's one of the things that I'm here for, and that's one of the things that your elders are here for. When you don't understand something, man, give us a call. That's what we're here for, to help you out, to help one another. Iron sharpens iron, all right? We're to stand shoulder to shoulder, back to back, supporting one another, building each other up with Christ as the head. Because we need to remember that when Adam sinned, everything changed. When Adam sinned, we were no longer the image of God. For everything that was procreated, because remember, that's what God said, go and fill the world, okay? Have babies, a bunch of them. Because God gave His creation the ability to procreate. That's the creative work in us today. Creation still exists, but it exists within the creation. For the Creator doesn't have to keep creating. He was powerful enough to give His creation the ability to what? Procreate. But it creates after its likeness. Okay? Now, I had to learn a lot about genetics when Russell had his cancer. You know, there are some things in life that you really don't like to learn about. You know what I mean? There are things that you think, why do I have to know that stuff? And then all of a sudden, you get a little bit older, and it's like, oh, I need to know more. And it's just so amazing, because when we started understanding genetics and realizing that, you know, Russell's leukemia wasn't anything that we had done, but it was a genetic change, one chromosome that was just a little off kilter and became active. We all have them. They're all in our bodies. The cancer gene, the cancer disease, is in each and every one of us. It just needs to be turned on. And in Russell's body, everything clicked because the sin was there. All the ingredients were there. It just needed to be turned on. Where did those ingredients come from? Thank you, Adam. And they've been compounding because the curse continues to compound. When we look at our lives and we see the destruction that we lead ourselves into, folks, I want you to realize something. We brought it on ourselves. Our forefathers brought it upon us too. Because the sins of the fathers are passed down to the third and fourth generation. And folks, that just continues even to this day. Okay? That's God's word. It's understanding that how did sin enter into this world? It came into this world because people made choices, and they were bad choices. We continue to make choices today, don't we? Now, I need to ask you a very serious question. You heard me ask the children. Do you make all the right choices all the time? You know, that's the first step to recovery, is admitting you have a problem. Let's have an AA meeting right here. You and I need to understand that when we come to the place of accepting the reality that God didn't create us like this, that we've created this mess ourselves. And we just continue to perpetuate it. You know, we like to blame it all on Satan because he was the one there at the beginning in the garden, right? He was the one that came into the garden. Ah, what did I say that was? An excuse. What Adam should have said to God at that very first moment was, yes, I sinned. Forgive me, Lord. And do you think God by grace would have? I almost think he would. I don't know because Adam didn't ask. I can't prove it because it didn't happen. But what did Adam do? He cast the blame. He cast the blame. That's sin. That's sin itself. How do we conquer sin? With more sin. Does that sound like our world today? Does that sound like where it's headed? Does that sound like where it's going? It certainly does to me. And you know, I'm so amazed because we still make excuses today. Now, I'm going to pick on a very helpless little one. In fact, he can't even speak on his own behalf. This little guy over here, you know, I very seldom hear him peep during services. I don't know whether you all noticed that. I think my voice lulls him to sleep. I'm going to have to change something with that. But the reality is we all look at these little babies, right? We all look at little Alan and we say, oh, he's, or Alex, I'm sorry. Thank you, Ruth. We all look at little Alex and we say, he's perfect. He's innocent. No, he's not. He's a sinner of the 10th degree.
Oh, but Pastor,
knock it off. I love that little guy, and I'm gonna do everything I can within my power as pastor, while they allow me, to help guide him unto truth and unto life. Do you ever notice that we have to train kids to be good? Did you ever have to train your child to be bad? Am I making sense? Or is it just me? I'd like to know what it was like to have baby Jesus as your child. A baby who never cried when he was hungry or messed or had colic. He just kind of sat there and took it all. And you know what God, this is gonna tear me up. Do you know what God did to me when I was studying this? God took me to a place in my own reality that just broke me apart. Because the scripture says from birth, this is Psalm 58, even from birth the wicked go astray. And all are sinners, right? For all have fallen short of the glory of God, for all have sinned. Okay? It's in our nature. We can't help it. So even when they're born, they're sinners. And I said, Lord, what would it have been like to have baby Jesus? And I'm not kidding you. And this is, woof. He said, do you remember your girls? And I just lost it. My girls, Rachel and Rebecca, were so tiny they fit in the palm of my hand. When Rebecca never even stretched, Rachel did. She stretched out and her head was at the top of my fingers and her little feet were down here just below the palm of my hand. And then she curled back up into a fetal position. Never made a peep because she never breathed. She just stretched out. Kind of opened up, curled back up, and died. He said, do you remember that? She never cried. She never asked for anything. All she did was accept her fate and surrender it. He said, that's what my son did. And I thought, wow, God, you really do protect the unborn. You know what it costs. And you know how deep this stuff really touches the lives of everybody who will listen and hear. Because in the womb, they are innocent. But as soon as we take our first breath, our nature takes over. Because it is who we are. We are the creatures we were created as. We are the children of Adam, sinners, with no hope in ourselves. And here's the good news, people. Here's the great news, people. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 from the third verse. The Lord gives us these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from our forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves so that you have sincere love for your brothers and love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. Blessed be the Word of the Lord. You and I, through the Word of God, are restored. You see, that's the redemptive work of God's Word poured out into our lives. Just as the action of the first Adam brought death, so too the action and He who is the Word in our lives brings back life. God changes the genetics. God changes the DNA spiritually, not physically, because we are yet to die in this world. God does not take that away. The consequences of sin are not taken away. But the judgment of sin is, that's spiritual. For in Jesus Christ He has set us free and He has turned us into imperishable seed. Though this body be failing in every way and manner, the Spirit is alive and well in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What if your blessings come through raindrops? Brothers and sisters, this world is meant to teach us. God allowed these things to happen, not because He's a vengeful God, but because He knew in order for us to be able to choose Him, we had to have free will. In order for us to be able to grow to love Him truly, we had to have the ability to sin as well. So He gave us free will, and we got to choose. But God so loved the world. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Today, I want you to believe in Him as you've never believed in Him before. Because our world is changing rapidly. And there's going to come a point in time when they're going to tell us in the church, this is what you're going to do. And I'm going to say, put it in a sock. Because I won't do it. I will do what the Lord tells me to do, and I'll go to jail for it. And I hope I won't be alone. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose cursing or choose the blessing. Isn't it amazing? I think it's time to straighten up and fly right. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, our God, we give you thanks. Lord, we know that we have created the mess that we're in. We like to blame Satan, but Father, we're the ones who keep choosing sin when you have given us the ability to choose truth. So help us, Lord, to walk into the strength that you have given us, to be light in this world, to be salt in this world, and to realize that you are living through us. That we would go out from this place and that we would allow your glory to fill our world through our very lives. And Lord, that means surrendering who we are and giving ourselves to you. Father, bless us, we pray you, that we may straighten up and fly right. Help us to reach the target. We don't have to get there fast, Lord. Just let us get there. And may we be pleasing unto you the whole while. For this we ask thee in Jesus' holy name. And all God's people said,
Amen.